I have decided to follow Jesus.
Welcome to Search the Scriptures 24/7, a radio ministry of the Berean Call featuring T.A. McMahon. I'm Gary Carmichael. It's great to have you with us. In today's program, Tom wraps up a two-part series with guest Joe Keim as they address the question, are the Amish really Christians? Here's TBC Executive Director Tom McMahon.
Thanks, Gary. Well, this is part two of a conversation that I'm having with Joe Keim. The program is about Amish. Joe grew up Amish, as we learned last week, and he's now a leader in MAP. And MAP is the mission to the Amish people. And Joe, welcome back to Search the Scriptures 24/7.
I appreciate it, Tom. It's good to be back and to be able to share some of the things that we've shared.
Yeah, and it's been really good. As I mentioned last week, Joe, you know, many people are, I'm sure many of our listeners, were fascinated by the Amish. We see the buggies. I mean, not so much out here on the West Coast, but certainly, you know, as I grew up in Ohio and Pennsylvania, my wife's from Lancaster County, with many Amish there and so on. So we're fascinated by it, but at the same time, we don't know that much about it. So that's why I greatly appreciate this interview with you and what we can learn about the Amish and what we need to do. Christ died for everyone, the Amish included, obviously, and we want to know how we can be a part of ministering to them, maybe not personally, but certainly through people like yourself and the organization that you represent. Joe, what I'd like you to do, you've given us some really good information, but how about some historic background about the Amish? And I'd like you to include the Mennonites and, if you'd like, also the Hutterites.
Well, it started in the 1500s over in Switzerland, and it pretty much came out of disagreement with infant baptism. And some adults began to read their Bibles and understand it, and realized that baptism follows salvation and should only be done after a person understands and is born again. And so, of course, that led to persecution, some very heavy, heavy persecution. Mm-hmm. Out of that persecution came three main groups, the Hutterites, the Mennonites, and the Quakers. And for many years, they were persecuted for their faith, and eventually...
Mm-hmm. By the Catholic Church, by the way.
Yeah, by the Catholic Church, mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. And many of them, matter of fact, the Amish have a book, it's about 3 inches thick, and it's fairly good size, that share a lot of the stories of what the forefathers went through. Many of them were burned at the stake and mm-hmm. thrown in rivers and so forth.
Was that Martyr's Mirror?
That's the Martyr's Mirror, mm-hmm. Yes. The Amish almost hold that right up to the Bible as looking back on their forefathers, there's this sense that we're just a little bit better than others, mm-hmm. sort of a prideful feeling that came out of that movement. But as time went on, persecution settled down, and it wasn't until 1690, a guy met by the name of Jacob Ammon was a leader in the Mennonite Church, and he felt like the Mennonite Church had been drifting away, and particularly in the area of excommunication and shunning and a few other things that he felt needed to be changed. And so there was a division between him and another leader, Hans Reich. And because of that division, Jacob Ammon left the Mennonite Church and had a following that followed him. I guess at some point they became known as the Amish people because of Jacob Ammon's last name. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until early 1700s, about 30 years later, 40 years after this division, that a guy in America by the name of William Penn, a Quaker, had some property in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and he was sending word back to the other Anabaptists that they wanted to come over. There would be freedom to worship God however you desire. And many, I guess in 1727, the very first Amish people came over to America and settled in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. For many years, Pennsylvania was the biggest, most populated state. Today, however, Ohio has going around Pennsylvania slightly, with about 308,000 Amish people right now. They double in size every 20 years. On average, a brand new Amish community springs up in America every 3.5 weeks.
Wow.
So they're just populating like crazy all across the United States.
Mm-hmm. And we talked last week, obviously that's the community itself. They consider anybody outside, as we talked about, the Amish community as the English, okay? Because that's really, the English is their second language, and it's the language of, obviously, this country. So, but Joe, one of the things that you touched upon, but I want to underscore a bit, this really all came out of the Anabaptists, didn't it? The Anabaptists wanted to be baptized. They wanted believers' baptism, which you touched upon. But then, as you described last week, the Amish got away from believers' baptism, didn't they?
They came full circle. It is absolutely amazing. I mean, if you go back to the 1500s, the Bible was written in Latin, which was not common language to the people, and yet the people continued to go to the state church, and they trusted the leaders that they would teach them correctly. And today, we're in the same boat. As Amish people, we trust the leaders. We have a Bible in our hand that the common man doesn't understand, and we're just full cycle.
Mm-hmm. Now, explain again for those maybe who missed the program last week, which is available, by the way. You can go to our website and listen to it. But the Bible is in German, but it's High German, which few can speak and very few understand. Now, I want to underscore that because the Bible is where, you know, the Word of God is. It's where the gospel is and so on. So not to have that available is more than restrictive. It keeps people in bondage. So, Joe, tell us about, they hear the Bible. I assume it's either read by the elders or some at a Sunday service. Tell us what takes place during a Sunday service.
Well, a service is normally lasts about 3 hours, and in that time period, there's about an hour and a half of preaching.
Mm-hmm.
These preachers have an eighth grade education. They're farmers or business owners, and they come in there, they preach from their heart. There's no outline. They don't hold a Bible in their hand and preach from a Bible. It's just you get up and you preach for 35 to 40 minutes. Many of the stories that we heard in church services were from the Old Testament, and the consequences that many of Abraham and Moses and the children of Israel and Samson and all those, what the consequences of not obeying God. So we knew a lot about God, and we knew the God of the Old Testament very well. Not so much about Jesus, although Jesus was thrown in there, and very little about the Holy Spirit. It wasn't that they didn't quote from the New Testament, but we had those pet verses that the ministers memorized and would quote during their sermon. But they would be some of the verses we talked about earlier, be separate, mm-hmm. come out from among them, or be not conformed to this world, or the Sermon on the Mount. So,
mm-hmm. And Joe, as you mentioned, the Book of Ordinances. These were rules and regulations that it would have to be that the community had their own set of rules and regulations. It may be different than another community in terms of adjustments and so on. But how serious was, you have the Bible, you have the Old Testament stories, and they're given as stories, but when it comes down, when push comes to shove in terms of what's going to get you to heaven, it really falls back on the Book of Ordinances, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And every community has one of those ordinance letters. Of course, it varies. From the outside, outsiders really don't see the big variation, but when you're in the community, it's the little details that are huge. For instance, in one community, they could have a chainsaw. In my community, we weren't allowed the chainsaw. We had to hire somebody to cut the tree down from the outside, and then we had the cross cut, we had the buzz saw, but no chainsaw, and this difference really separated us from that other community.
Now, Joe, comment on this. Just, it was fascinating, but also Well, I'll let you address it. The brim of the straw hat that a male would wear, the distance of the brim itself, whether it be 4 inches or 3 1/4 inches, that could split a church or a community. Is that right?
Yeah, even the brim of a hat, even the triangle. One community says, okay, absolutely no slow-moving vehicle triangles on your buggy.
Mm-hmm.
Another one said, okay, you can have them, but they have to be homemade, and they have to be painted black, and they put this, like, reflector tape around the edges.
Mm-hmm.
And then another community says, it don't matter to us, we'll have the orange ones. And so, yeah, there's all kinds of differences.
Yeah,
in that way.
And the sad part of it is, as we've talked before going on the air, there's something very, for those that don't know the Amish in terms of details, but they recognize the quaintness, the simplicity of their life. And that's kind of attractive and so on. But with what we're describing here, there's a bondage. And the bondage has to do with where you're going to spend eternity, in the lake of fire. So there's a fear that can come up from abusing the rules or not going exactly by the rules. Isn't that the case?
It is. And really what it boils down to is you have to separate the culture from their spiritual beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the culture that all these books are written on, and the documentaries. Outsiders look in, we get calls on a regular basis, and they're always referring to the culture. We love the culture. And to be honest with you, Tom, I'm thankful I was born and raised in that culture because of the family values, the
mm-hmm.
hard work ethics, the honesty. Man, we helped each other. We were a community.
Mm-hmm.
That is the beautiful part about the Amish. But when it comes to religious beliefs, I had to go to an outsider to find out how to get to heaven and have assurance.
Mm-hmm. Well, Joe, let's pursue that a little bit more. As I said, from the outside and from your experience, as I mentioned, I grew up Roman Catholic, pre-Vatican II Roman Catholic. I was kind of raised by nuns and priests and so on before a lot of the issues had come out, and it never affected my life. But it was, the people were wonderful, and they had a sense of morality that we were taught, even though it was strict, that I look back on with a fondness, on the one hand. On the other hand, with regard to the Amish community, weren't there problems based on the legalism that they had, even though some, you'd say, well, it was morally this or it had integrity that. But basically, what was the consequence of that legalism? Were there ever suicides? Were there ever family relationships broken up for the laws and all of that? What do you say?
Well, that's a very, very interesting question. The goal was to be unified, to
mm-hmm.
all look the same in outward appearance, to all live the same. And this was supposed to bring us together, unify us, just like Jesus said, you be one as I and the Father are one.
Mm-hmm.
But what that does, and it does to everyone who follows a set of rules, it doesn't take away the hypocrisy, because you can't put another person in a box and say, now you live and look and act just like me or as the forefathers.
Mm-hmm.
It creates hypocrisy. I often looked at the Pharisees as horrible people. I mean, Jesus himself called them snakes and dead man's bones and hypocrites and all of that.
Right.
I think they were just like what you described in our upbringing. You know, we loved those people around us. They were good people, but that didn't change their heart. And there was always a lot of hypocrisy. Legalism also creates a life of greed and selfishness and division, disunity. As much as we look unified on the outside, there was a lot of disunity. Communities were splitting all the time and starting new communities. There's jealousy, favoritism, dishonesty, abuse, and you mentioned the word suicide. There's quite a number of suicides that take place every year. Just the other day, a mother of 6 or 7 children took her life.
Wow, it's tragic.
Yeah, and of course, unused talent. I always think of the people that the Amish have so much talent, but if it doesn't line up with Scripture or with the ordinance letter, it goes unused.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Joe, you mentioned last week about this young man who, Paul, I believe his name was, who was an evangelist basically among the Amish as an Amish person, but then they shut him down or moved him out. So how did he affect your life? And give us your testimony. I guess that's what I'm getting at.
Well, at age 15, Paul began to share the gospel with us at our house, and it didn't take very long for Dad to tell us we couldn't hang around him, but we would go behind Dad's back, and we would get with Paul on a Sunday, and somebody gave him a cassette player, and he had a bunch of preaching tapes, and we'd get together, we'd listen to those. But I was very cautious because I didn't, at this point, believe that you could be saved on the spot mm-hmm. and know it. Mm-hmm. It took me 3 years, and I went through a time of rebellion. I left the church and went out and lived like the world. And it was during this time that I had a car, living in town, working at an English shop, that Paul came by and he started to share the gospel with me. And at first, I didn't really want to know a lot about it, but in time, he got his pastor involved, and they used to come. And one Sunday afternoon, he says, hey, Joe, he had just come home from church. He said, can I just have a few minutes with you? And that was on July the 28th, 1985. I was 18 years old. And he opened the Bible up and started to talk about how that we're all sinners. I said, whoa, whoa, wait a minute, Paul. I realize that I'm a sinner, but I have never murdered anybody. I have never been in prison. I said, I might be a sinner, and I believe that I am, but I'm not one of those bad ones. I'm a good sinner. I'm good enough that God will probably overlook my sin. And he turned back to the Bible. He says, well, right here in Romans chapter 3, it says, verse 23, for all have sinned and we've come short of God's glory. And looking back now, I realize that it takes the Holy Spirit of God
right.
to do a work in your heart. You cannot get saved on your own. It is a birth of God. And on that particular day, the Holy Spirit took that verse, and he took Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, when I understood that salvation was a gift that was paid for, and all I had to do was receive it, accept what Jesus Christ did on that cross for me, and all my sins could be washed away.
Wow.
As I called out to God to save me, the tears just came down my face, and I had an encounter with the living God. It was real, and I know on that day I was born into God's family.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we want for all the Amish people. It's,
yeah.
It's there. But, Joe, you came to a point where you had to accept it. You had to receive it. And you did. And God changed your life. And that's why we do these programs, folks. That's why lots of things going on in the church, some things that to be encouraged by, but many, many things that are discouraging. But God doesn't change. The Holy Spirit doesn't change. And He wants, it's his desire that all should come to salvation. And so I really appreciate that, Joe. Joe, you gave us your testimony and how the Lord worked in you. But what would you say is, what's the biggest hurdle that an Amish person has? Because you have to deal with that as a missionary to the Amish. So what's the greatest hurdle in your view?
To sharing the gospel, you mean?
You're right.
Yeah. Well, I think probably one of the biggest ones is, for me anyways, I'm an excommunicated member.
Mm-hmm.
And so as soon as they find out that I was Amish and left, then they just kind of cut me off. So that's a big hurdle in witnessing to Amish mm-hmm. people.
Except they know, you know what it's about. You know, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Of course, another one for me is, you mean you were Amish? You believed in wearing the head covering, where there's no divorce and remarriage? We don't go to war. We don't have prisons. You left all of that, and you went out into the world where they have all the divorce and remarriage and go to war, and they have police officers. And so why would you walk away from a community that God really specially set aside? So, again, someone like you would witness to them, they would think in their mind, well, it's too bad you're not Amish because you could really be close to God, but mm-hmm. you weren't born that way, so They don't hold that against you.
I see. Yeah. But tell us how MAP, the mission to the Amish people, you know, you're a leader there. What do you guys do? How do you go about your mission work?
It was in 1999 that God called me very clearly to this ministry. And at the time, there was no ministry to the Amish, but I was sure that God was calling me. And so by 2001, my family and I, we went full-time into this ministry, not knowing for sure what it was going to be like. But we realized early on that even though they don't have a radio, a TV, or the internet, everybody has a mailbox. And so we began to send out mailings, and we have Bible lessons that we send out, about 80 to 90,000 lessons every year. Okay, I should say these Bible lessons are correspondence, so, and very evangelistic. Every year we see between 200 and 300 salvations that come back to us.
Wow.
We have a publication called The Amish Voice that goes out to about 8,000 Amish people right now. And, of course, we provide, we really have a ministry to the ones that have left the Amish. We don't try to get them to leave, but when they do, we provide housing and jobs and help them get their Social Security numbers. We provide GED classes, encourage them to go on to college if they want to do more than what they normally are capable of doing outside of an education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Joe, that was my next question, and we just have a few minutes here. But first of all, you mentioned some of the immediate difficulties when an Amish person comes to Christ. Can you think of a couple more? And then what I'd like you to do is tell me, tell our listeners, how we can help MAPS, how we can, we know prayer, certainly, but are there other things that we can do to encourage you, to help you in your missionary work to the Amish?
Yeah, I'd like to just touch a little bit on what it is like when someone comes to Christ. And, of course, we have seen some of the worst to the point of extreme emotional and mental abuse. What often happens is when it leaks out that you have this new belief, it's not uncommon for family members and ministers to come in van loads and try to talk you out of it, even to the point of where Amish people have lain in front of their doorways and kept outsiders from coming in and having Bible studies, and they pretty much live there day and night to protect them. It's very common for parents to come and weep and wail and almost like a funeral. So it's not easy for a lot of them. But as far as our ministry goes, obviously, we run on, we're faith-based, and people can support the ministry by going to our website, which is mapministry.org, mapministry.org, and there are various ways that people can give. Right now, we're trying to raise about $250,000 to $300,000 to put up apartment housing to help the ones that are leaving the Amish, because oftentimes when they get saved, they're given the choice, leave or stop talking about it. When they leave everything. They have nothing except for the clothes on their back. And we provide housing for them. So, but, of course, the mailings, we spent probably around $150,000 plus a year just in postage and mailing. So we're always depending upon other people to help us get the word out that way.
Yeah. And at what price eternal life? At what price? You can't put a price on it because we're talking eternity with Jesus. Wow. As opposed to the thing that many Amish live in fear of, and that's the lake of fire. And why not? But it's separation from God. And I know, Joe, that that's your heart's cry. That's our heart's cry here in this ministry to offer people. This is a free gift that we received, the free gift of eternal life, which only Christ, only comes through Christ. So, Joe, this has been hopefully an eye-opener for those who find the Amish to be a unique body of people but have no idea of what goes on. And as you said, some wonderful things in your growing up Amish because of the morality, the integrity, at least superficial Certainly hypocrisy involved when you have legalism. But nevertheless, we want them saved. And, Joe, that's why I appreciate you so much being on the program with us.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's been a real pleasure to have been part of your program.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
You've been listening to Search the Scriptures 24/7 with T.A. McMahon, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. We offer a wide variety of resources to help you in your study of God's Word. For a complete list of materials and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at thebereancall.org. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for being here, and we hope you can join us again next week. Until then, we encourage you to search the Scriptures 24/7.
Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.